Welcome to God and Country Radio, a program that discusses current social, political, economic, prophetic events on life scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. On this week's program, I would like to again address the abortion issue. I've done dozens of programs addressing this issue from many different angles, and rightly so, because abortion in America is the American Holocaust. It's a worse crime than the Nazi Holocaust, where 6 million Jews were put to death in concentration camps. In America, over 50 million children have been executed through abortion. But on this program, I'm not going to address the politics of it, but I want to address the topic of evangelizing pro-abortionists. It's one thing to support the ethics of pro-life. It's a whole other thing to know how to wisely evangelize pro-choicers. Remember, we're commanded in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, to sanctify Christ as Lord in our hearts, always being ready to make a defense, the word apologia, an answer, a rational explanation, to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that's in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. Notice that the defense of our beliefs begins not with a PhD in rhetoric, but in having Christ sanctified, set first place in our hearts. In the context, it means putting Christ above the intimidations of those who do evil. So have the courage to speak up. And then notice that our approach needs to be with gentleness and reverence. Reverence mostly toward God, but this could also mean respect toward others, because even though our opponents may be wrong and may be evil, they're still individuals made in the image of God. It's a fallen image, but still the image of God. James chapter 3, verse 9. With our tongues we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. Now, in some situations, we need to remember the words of Christ in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 7, verse 6. Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. Some pro-choice advocates are so radicalized that the better part of wisdom is to steer clear of them, especially when they are in the psychosis of a mob at a pro-choice rally. The people we want to reach are those who are seeking answers, those who are questioning. As we read in the book of Jude, Jude 22, have mercy on some who are doubting. That means those who are questioning or even doubting the pro-choice position or any other false teaching for that matter. Have mercy on the ones who are questioning. When Paul went to the city of Philippi to start a church, he didn't start evangelizing in the streets. Acts chapter 16, verse 13, he went down to the riverside where he was supposing that there would be a place of prayer. And he sat down and began to speak to a woman. You see, Paul started with those people who had a general interest in God. So always remember that in your personal evangelism. Start with those who show a spiritual interest. In your family, at work, in your neighborhood. Satan would have you waste all of your time arguing with disinterested reprobates. Reach the teachable and let their conversion be the rebuke to the hard-hearted. But even still, those who are questioning, those who are open, are still filled with a lot of wrong secular thinking. They're often a tough nut to crack. Listening to their arguments, it's like they live in a different universe, a different universe of right and wrong. I just received a newsletter from the Democrat New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez. Quote, this week we saw Republicans continue their coordinated attack on women's right to bodily autonomy. Only 3 weeks after five right-wing extremist justices recklessly overturned 50 years of precedent protecting a woman's right to choose, Republicans have gone off the rails with their extremism. These decisions are wrong and unconstitutional. I will not stop fighting until every woman's right to bodily autonomy is fully protected. Unquote, Bob Menendez. So these pro-abortionists support the killing of babies, and we're the extremists. We're the reckless. What world does Senator Menendez live in? How are the synapses in his brain connected? That he could justify the choice of killing a baby in a mother's womb. Proverbs 28:5, evil men do not understand justice, but those who seek the Lord understand all things. I also received another email from my Democrat Congressman Frank Pallone, stating that all people should have the right to an abortion without ideological, stigmatizing, and unnecessary restrictions that block care and undermine a woman's ability to make her own healthcare decisions. So how is it that these people think killing a baby in the womb is healthcare? This is truly 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Those who have their conscience seared with a hot iron. It's Romans chapter 1. Their foolish hearts are darkened, professing to be wise, they become fools. God gives them over to a depraved mind. And this is also an example of Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. Those who call good evil and evil good. And given the moral confusion in our own day, we see how the ancient Israelites justified their worship of Baal and the practice of child sacrifice. So this is the condition of the lost soul, the depravity of the human heart. And in our evangelism, we must realize it's going to take a miracle of God to break the bondage. Now, part of the moral blindness that has fallen upon our nation is the reasoning that since a majority of people support abortion, it must not be such an obvious sin or such a serious sin. If it's debatable, it can't be so wrong. So let people have freedom of conscience. After all, how could so many people be wrong if it's such an obvious moral truth? And this mindset is the result of moral relativism that's been taught in our culture for the last three generations, where people determine right and wrong by public opinion rather than the word of God. So the more people who support abortion, the less it seems wrong. But our ignorance of the crime of abortion doesn't exonerate us from the crime. It actually makes us more guilty. A sinful man can commit a crime, but it takes a psychopath to commit a crime and feel no guilt. That's a whole deeper level of evil, and that's where our society is at. And people, even whole nations, can practice abominations and consider it normal. It takes the word of God to recalibrate our standards of morality. So here's a question. And a question we can propose to those we're speaking to about pro-life. How are we to know right from wrong? Last week, I ran into a good example of this. It's been 20 years since I watched the Star Wars movies. And I had some downtime, so I put the movies on in the background while I was working on other things. But soon I was jotting down all sorts of Star Wars lines, because there's some interesting cultural moral teachings behind the saga. You see, most of the galaxy supported the Empire and the Emperor Palpatine, except a small group of rebels who saw them as evil. After Anakin goes over to the dark side and becomes Darth Vader, he goes out to kill the Jedi Obi-Wan. Obi-Wan meets with Anakin, and Obi-Wan says to Anakin, "The Emperor is evil." Anakin, Darth Vader, says, "From my point of view, the Jedi are evil." And then Obi-Wan says to Anakin, "Now I know you're lost." So the question is, how do you know who is evil and who is good in the story? Well, George Lucas writes into the series, three ways you can tell, and this is universal in all morality plays. First, evil always lies. In Star Wars, the Emperor hides from the Senate his true intention to seize power and destroy the Jedi. The Jedi, on the other hand, are generally honest about their plans. Beware of those who hide their real agenda by obfuscating the issue. As George Orwell wrote, political language is designed to make lies sound truthful and murder respectable and to give an appearance of solidity to pure wind. And that's certainly the pro-choice rhetoric. The second telltale sign of evil is that evil always wants totalitarian power. The Star Wars Empire wants totalitarianism. Now, we know the state has given God-given power to stop evil, but evil wants the power of the state in order to commit evil. The third evidence of evil is the most obvious. And this is the way you can tell who the bad guy is in just about every story. The evil villain always kills innocent people. Most authors try to show the subtle deceptiveness of evil, that it's hard to tell who the terrorist is and who is the freedom fighter. The protagonist in every story has to wrestle with this question and come to the right conclusion. But authors usually help the reader identify the evil by having the evil character destroy innocent people. The Bond villain always gets the disapproval of the audience by killing some innocent individual. The Empire destroys the planet Alderaan with the Death Star, and Anakin kills the children of the Tusken Raiders, and then he goes over to the dark side. You know, my point here is not that we get our ethics from Star Wars, but that even our popular culture knows that evil is identified by its taking of innocent life. The pro-choice position is evil on its face. And even before discussing God's written revelation on this matter, the Bible, this truth can be deduced from natural revelation, which includes God's revelation on the conscience of man. And Paul speaks about this in Romans chapter 2. The Gentiles who do not have the written law of God, they don't have the Old Testament, but they show the works of the law written in their hearts. Their conscience bearing witness, and their thoughts alternatively accusing or else defending them, on the day when, according to my gospel, God will judge the secrets of men through Jesus Christ. Now, it's true that people can be seared in their conscience and lose that natural revelation, but the scriptures teach that natural revelation is complete enough to hold people accountable. They know that the killing of a baby in a womb is evil. It weighs on their conscience. And so pro-choicers have to create all sorts of intellectual rationalizations to suppress their conscience. So in our evangelism, we need to realize that, and we need to appeal to natural revelation, to conscience, to arguments based on reason. And I recommend that before you get into any discussion with someone over pro-life versus pro-choice, establish your source of authority. Establish on what basis we determine right from wrong. If you think pro-choice is right, says who? And if you don't establish that, the discussion will always degenerate into my opinion versus their opinion. It always degenerates into a fight between two wills. And this is why we rarely make any ground in discussing these moral issues. To lay the axe at the root of the tree, we must challenge and teach our opponent about the source of authority. Now, eventually, he or she may come to the conclusion that man or self is the source of his or her authority. That I can believe a certain thing is right because I feel that way, or I like what it does for me. But at least you have gotten them to acknowledge that they're being their own God. They're ignoring the revelation of God's will in Scripture, And the devil wants to keep people in the dark in that regard. He doesn't want people to know why they believe what they believe, lest they realize the foolishness of being one's own authority and where that leads. Because everyone knows that if people can make up their own morality based upon what I like, that's the road to moral anarchy. So in conjunction with this week's program, I have written a pamphlet entitled Christianity, Pro-Life or Pro-Choice. I have written over 25 pamphlets on various subjects, but I've never written a defense or an explanation of the pro-life position, mostly because I consider it obvious. But after reading some internet posts by professing Christians in support of pro-choice, I now see the need to make a pamphlet addressing the obvious. It may not convert the avid pro-abortionists, but at least it'll help keep the new Christian from being deceived by pro-choice rhetoric. Now, if you go to my website, godandcountryradio.org, you can email me and request some free copies. Again, it's godandcountryradio.org. Spell it out, godandcountryradio.org. I begin the pamphlet explaining this issue of one's authority for right and wrong. That abortion would be perfectly acceptable if we were all merely accidents of evolution. Then we could live by the Darwinistic principle of survival of the fittest. Who lives and who dies could be decided by personal or societal well-being. Do you see the point I'm subtly trying to make? Even unsaved people know that without a moral lawgiver, the law of nature and nature's God, the only other alternative source for ethics, survival of the fittest, would be a disaster. So then in the first part of the pamphlet, I cover all of the scriptures supporting pro-life. You say, what if they don't believe in the scripture? That doesn't matter. You don't have to defend the scripture, just let the lion loose out of the cage. I explain the prohibitions against murder in Exodus chapter 20, thou shalt not murder, and the prohibitions against killing a baby in the womb, Exodus 21, 22 through 23, where the death penalty is enforced upon those who kill a fetus. I explain that the scripture attributes personhood to the child in the womb. Human life begins at conception, Psalm 139. For you formed my inward parts, you wove me in my mother's womb, Psalm 22. Upon you I was cast from birth. You have been my God from my mother's womb. Isaiah 46, you have been born by me from birth and have been carried from the womb. I then share the text where all the prophets of God were called to be prophets while they were in their mother's womb. Jeremiah, Isaiah, John the Baptist, the Apostle Paul, and especially Jesus. At the very core of the Christian message is the incarnation. Jesus the Messiah exists as a person in the womb of Mary. Luke 1:35, Matthew 1:20. In the pamphlet, I then go on to share all of the biblical prohibitions against child sacrifice. The ancients sacrificed their children on the altar to Baal, in the same way modern man sacrifices their children on the altar of convenience. Abortion is child sacrifice revived in the last days. Then in the second half of the pamphlet, I address the deceptive arguments of the pro-abortionists. If abortion is so evil, how can it be that so much of the American public approves of abortion? Well, don't underestimate human depravity. I break down the false teaching of pro-choice into two main errors. And I believe this exposes what pro-abortionists don't want people to realize. First, that pro-abortionists are deciding what is true on the basis of their own feelings and opinions. They're making up out of thin air this belief that life begins at delivery, not conception. They have no authority but their own selves. And they're also assuming that if there is a God, he would be on their side in this matter. Because they judge right and wrong on the basis of what most helps them in the short term, and they assume God has the same basis for right and wrong. That is their autonomy, their freedom from accountability and responsibility. But God actually has a different word to say about the life of the child in the womb. Pro-life or pro-choice hinges on one source of moral authority, that being either God or self. The second great error of pro-abortionists is the inversion of God's hierarchy of values. To justify evil, Satan doesn't simply reject God's law. He inverts the hierarchy of God's law so that lower values such as personal choice, financial well-being, family stability, all good things, are placed above the protection of life. But in Scripture, the protection of life is above those lesser values. But in that the pro-abortionists can claim these lesser values, they think they have an argument, they think they have moral superiority. This is how they're deceived. They think the argument, my body, my choice, my right, or abortion is healthcare, are valid arguments, are values that come above the protection of life. But all of those arguments fall apart when the issue is the taking of another person's life. You don't have a choice to murder someone, and abortion isn't necessary to make murder safe for women. That's like saying we need to give men boxing gloves so that when they beat their wives, they don't hurt their hands. Now, I conclude this pamphlet as I want to conclude this program. The real problem is a spiritual problem. The pro-choice position is just a sign that one does not live in submission to the will of God. And that's also a sign that one does not have a saving relationship with God, that one is not born again. So if you'd like a copy of this pamphlet, go to my website, godandcountryradio.org, click on the contact link and send me an email requesting a free pamphlet, Christianity, Pro-Life, or Pro-Choice. Also, this week's YouTube edition of this program is going to be a little different. Rather than an extended, lengthier version of this program, my YouTube is entitled Christianity, Pro-Life, or Pro-Choice Explained in 5 Minutes. And in this, I'm practicing what I'm preaching in this program. If we're to reach and disciple others, we have to be brief. We have to get their ear. People send me video links all the time, and I look at them, 45 minutes long, hour and a half long, and there's very little likelihood I can get around to watching every video link. But when I get a link that's 5 minutes long coming from a friend, I'm going to watch it. So maybe we can get this video, Christianity, Pro-Life, or Pro-Choice Explained in 5 Minutes, trending on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Twitter. 1 Corinthians 9:19. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, so that I may win more. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I become all things to all men, so that I may by all means save some. I do all things for the sake of the gospel, even defending the pro-life position, that I might share the gospel of Jesus Christ and bring people under his authority, not just in regard to personal moral behavior, but in receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Thanks for listening. Thanks for your prayers and support. The website again is godandcountryradio.org. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, help us to fulfill the Great Commission, to teach others to observe all that Christ commanded us. And thank you that you're with us in this great undertaking, even unto the ends of the age. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.